Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Right, we want to wake up everybody. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. And today is a real special program. It's a special program because in life, they say changes happen all the time. And we're going to, it's very unfortunate, and we're going to dearly miss our contributor, historian, analyst, Emmanuel Joyner. This is our first program, basically without him. But his influence and his contribution to MPH will always be felt. And we're going to try to continue the legacy that he helped lay down in terms of building Missing Pages history. Again, we'd like to welcome everyone and wake everyone up to another episode of Missing Pages in History. Our goal is to enlighten and inspire our communities. We're talking about underserved communities to take hold of their history, take hold of their contributions, and take hold of their label so they can create a better future. for their community and for all mankind. We'd like to thank all our supporters who have been holding steadfast in supporting MPH, and for our new audience and new supporters. We'd like to thank you and encourage you to come along and help us build Missing Pages of History. One of the objectives of the radio program is to enlighten our people on their history, their cultures, their contribution, but be a voice for the underserved community. So, again, we welcome you to Missing Pages of History, and we're going somewhat in the process of reforming the process and the format of Missing Pages of History. Today, the format will consist of, we have three segments. One will be what's up in the nick of your woods, followed by hot topics, and then we can have articles of the week. And for each segment, as we discuss it, we allow time for you, the audience, to call in at 818-337-0016 to give your contribution, to make your contribution to each particular segment. So now, since you know the process and rule of engagement, I'd like to welcome one of our members, Susie, to Missing Pages of History. Susie, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Hello. Good evening. Hi. Like Lee said, we're somewhat changing the format, and basically we'll be dealing with the history, as far as history is concerned, what's happening with the White House, and also we'll be dealing with medicines that the community needs to know about, as far as what should be taken and shouldn't be, and what could cause problems for especially a lot of the underserved communities. And I will turn it back to Lee. Thank you.
But as me and Susie discuss this first segment, was up in the nick of your woods, and we're going to tell you in a second the perimeter in which we're going to be discussing. We'd like to have you do chime in as we discuss it. This first segment, What's Up in the Nick of Your Woods, we'd like to take a look at and talk a little bit about and get your feedback from, as we look at the Trump Watch, what grade would you give the Trump administration up to this point? We want to look at a little bit at the Me Too movement. Where is it going? And what you think about this YouTube movement? And last but not least, there was recently a conviction by an officer in Chicago who was convicted for shooting death a 17-year-old 16 times in the back. Those are the perimeters in which we can discuss under this area, what's up in the neck of your woods. You know, as we look at the Trump administration, we call it the Trump Watch, looking at how all of the administrations have performed previously in terms of making policies, in terms of getting their people approved to head certain departments, and just in terms of looking at the demeanor of the so-called president itself. We'll be really interested in terms of what grade you will give to this Trump administration. Even today, as from my understanding, see, have not really approved many departments are still functioning with vacancies, which has never been before. We also see that this Me Too movement, we see more and more women are coming out and speaking to this phenomenon of being raped. Connie Chung recently came out in support of the young lady who has testified against this upcoming possible Supreme Court judge who raped her, and or at least alleged to be raped by her, and she came out because she have seen how the society have dealt with this issue of rape, in particular this young lady. And more particular, you know, I'd like to know what is people's response to Donald Trump belittling and making fun of this young lady when he was mocking her recently in terms of some of the things she said while she was testifying. Like, I can't remember the date, I don't know exactly when things happened, this and that. And for many folks, or people who have been rape victims, they seem to all have agreed to the point that when this trauma happened to you, it's sometimes very hard to remember a lot of details. But here you have a man who considers himself the president of the United States of America, and how he conducts himself, and how the world is looking at him, viewing him. What do y'all think in terms of his demeanor? As well as something I thought really interesting, and I'd like to hear my listening audience what they thought about, that was a recent 73rd opening of the United Nations General Assembly with the Security Council. For some reason or another, they allowed Donald Trump to be as the chair for this 73rd session, and how he performed, how he used the forum as a means to openly disrespect, attack, and break all the protocols as a deal with nations. Instead of trying to promote peace, seemed like he was openly trying to be antagonistic and promote hostility and violence toward people of the world and countries in particular. So we really just like to know, how could you act in this kind of capacity and get away with it? We'd like to hear your views and your comments on that. So this is what we are talking about. What is up in the neck of that wood? Also, we'd like to hear your concerns about recently in Chicago, for a rally. They just invited police officer Jason Van Dyke. They found him guilty of second degree charge of murder on Laquan McDonald. He shot the 17-year-old young man in the back 16 times. And based upon his story, it was clear that everything he said, the video was contradictory. There was nothing close to it. I often wonder, should that be a rule when, and it's supposed to be a rule, when you found that you're lying in the so-called eyes of the law under oath, after that was a crime. But it seemed real clearly everything he said was something that was made up. So how do they continue to claim to serve the public and continue to lie to the public? And how do you maintain their trust in this institution to call the police force? So these are the things we'd like to hear from you right now in this segment, What's Up in the Neck of Al Woods, on the Mississippi History Today. Please hit 1 and call in at 818-337-0016 if you would like to express your views during this segment on these topics that we identified. So before we go to our callers who has something to say, what do you think about some of these issues? How do you rate the administration, Trump administration so far? What grade would you give it? How do you rate this whole so-called Me Too movement and what is taking place right now? And also speak to the killing of this young brother, Laquan McDonald, by this police in Chicago. Let us hear your thoughts first, Susie. Then we call, go to our callers.
My thoughts on this police officer, the only thing is that you hope that it serves as an example, and maybe other cities and states will take a look at a lot of these shootings that are occurring, because a couple months ago I was reading an article about where basically they were allowing a policeman to be protected. So maybe this is finally a way that the other states will realize, you know, what's going on isn't correct. It shouldn't be done, and basically be held accountable for a lot of these shootings that's going on. And also, as far as Connie Chell, it was she was a good one of many examples, which was good to come out and let know what she had to deal with when it involved rape. Because the thing about it, so many women do choose. Basically, they may tell an inner friend or a husband or spouse or something, but basically as a whole, they don't go out in public and talk about it because of the embarrassment and the shame that they feel. So with Connie Chung being able to come out, maybe that allows her to allow other women to come out and let them know that they're being abused as well. And as far as the remarks that the president made involving Dr. Ford, it sets a bad precedent, because when you think about it, you have young kids listening to a lot of their parents, seeing what's on the news and stuff like that, listening to this kind of thing. And for them, it would make them question what kind of president would do this, you know, because you're supposed to look up to the president, so therefore it allows him to not have any respect, to act like a little child that doesn't know better, to come out and make the remarks that he did about Dr. Ford.
That's interesting, Susie, because I often wonder how he can get away with this kind of attitude that he didn't display. And yeah, half of the country, most of the country, find this behavior as acceptable because they allow him to continue to do this. But anyway, this is Mr. Page of History. Let's go to our callers. They all lined up. They're waiting to Cheyenne in this section, what's going on in Nicaragua Woods. We are basically like to hear your perspective on, because we are filling our pages. This is our pages of history. We want to hear analysis from the people who are living today who represent our communities. And we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your perspective on this whole question of the Trump Watch. How would you grade the administration? What's up with this YouTube movement? Where do you see this really going? And number three, this whole question of this policeman killing this young brother, Laquan Madonna, in Chicago. He ought to be, at least he could be tried for a second degree murder. Now, he could be tried. He haven't totally been convicted of it. So, yeah, and we're talking about, they already talked that he's definitely going to repeal it. And, you know, sometimes when it comes to us, we get excited over things, and if we delay things a little bit and let time go by, they can go back and reverse everything and go back to things that normal. So let's take our views for our listening audience, see what they think about these events. We will take caller 6057. Welcome to Mr. Page's History. Give us your perspective on what's up in the nick of the woods as we speak on these various issues tonight.
Okay, thanks for having me. I would give the Trump administration a D, mainly because the way he conducts himself, he alienates people. And a lot of the people that he appointed to various positions in his administration have since resigned. And it reflects that he's not good at evaluating personnel. And the way he carries himself before international bodies, he shows no trace of diplomacy. And the way he talks about people, the way he insults and belittles them, you know, seems like, you know, he's provoking hostility rather than peace. And so it sets a dangerous precedent. And also because, youth are taught from elementary school onwards to look up to the U.S. president, it sets a bad, example in terms of conduct, you know, among groups of people. In terms of, what's going on with the UN, I think, the way the U.S. is carrying out its policy provokes war rather than creates a condition for peace. And in terms,
Go ahead, Carl. Finish your point.
Yeah. And also, in terms of what happened to the brother in Chicago, it's a sign of what's going on all over the country, that the police are indiscriminately, killing Africans, and they're not being held accountable for that. And it's getting and the youth are bearing the brunt of that, unfortunately. And it's a very dangerous time, for the youth, especially in this society.
Okay, Carl, real quickly, what do you think about this recent allegation about Donald Trump and his taxes, where his father left him many millions of dollars, and these monies were not reported? You know, you think he's going to get away with that? Is this the reason why he haven't filed his taxes? And do you know that if the establishment already knew about this, they just chose not to deal with it? What's up with that?
I think what's happened because Trump's family are multimillionaires, they have the ability, unlike the working class, to be able to buy off certain officials, and therefore they look the other way. And it's a case of lax enforcement on the IRS's part that Trump was not held accountable for tax evasion. Now, someone who was among the working poor, they would not be able to get away with that.
Okay, caller, you thank you for your comments for this segment. Hold on, we'll come back to you at a later time. We'll put you on hold, and we'll go to our next caller. Let's take caller. We're going with caller 4644. Caller 4644, welcome to Mr. Page of History. Your comments or questions to this segment, what's up in Nicklewood? Dealing with the subject just laid out.
Yeah.
Yes, caller.
Everything's going pretty cool here in my neck of the woods, and if you remind me of the topics one by one, I'll try to address, and I know at least two.
Yeah, Carl, we'd like to hear your perspective on the Trump Watch. How would you grade Donald Trump administration so far? Response to the U2 movement, and then just deal a little bit with this whole question of the recent indictment with this policeman in Chicago. His name,
let me go at him backwards.
Jason Van Dyke. So if you just give your response to those.
Yeah, I approve of the indictment on the police officer. What he done was notorious. I think a lot has to do with the indictment and the progress is with the black woman that was elected as prosecutor of Cook County. Did you know that Cook County prosecutor office has been very notorious? They had a program called Nigger by the Pound, which was a office pool among the prosecutors to see who could convict 2,000 pounds of black meat by the end of the month, and they would win the pool. And you can still read that on Chicago Tribune's back papers called A Flip Side of a Fair Trial. And read that up. Many people don't know much about that. But I think that that decision was a good one. I wish it could have been first-degree murder. But let's see what happened. As far as the Me Too movement, I'm seeing some things going on now that I totally don't agree with that's coming out of white females. And that's the reason why come I wouldn't want one to educate my children. And I try to avoid that, have tried to avoid that as much as possible. And when they have that, they demonstrate that type of feeling. They, that's sort of the way the subject matter is going to be taught in the classroom, too. I don't know what you think about that. What did Malcolm X say about white female? They're the most dangerous thing in America.
Can you just talk just a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit about what is it about white females that you see that you really don't like, or we should be aware of?
Well, I don't. There's a double standard that's going on. Look at all the white female teachers that have been involved in sexually having sexual contact with their students. And there's pages and pages on the website. But they are never punished to the great extent. Some cases they are let off. And with this Me Too movement and this thing that we're seeing, this attitude that we're seeing, I don't think that I want my child to be influenced by somebody who carries that attitude. Like, for instance, you guilty until proven innocent. That's what I've seen in the case with Bill Cosby and also with this with Judge Kavanaugh. I'm always under the pretense that you're innocent until proven guilty. Now, as far as Donald Trump, I supported and voted for Donald Trump because of his issues in his campaign, his issues as they applied on tax reform, on trade, his issues on immigration reform, his issues on the treaty between Mexico and Canada. And I have watched him try to address each and every campaign issue that he put forth, unbecoming of any past presidents. They usually change their mind in one way or the other, but he has stuck to his guns. And the manufacturing jobs that have started up, I have identified at least 50 in the St. Louis area with steel manufacturers, three in Missouri, two on the other side of the river, and Granite City Steel with USS Steel making note that they're doing so because of the tariff. The state of Georgia, their softwood industry is coming back since tariffs have been applied to Canada that was dumping their softwoods into the United States. So I'm satisfied with the things that he's doing. I don't pay no attention to all the other rhetoric. As far as the UN is concerned.
Real quick, Carla, give him a grade. A, B, C, D, or F?
I would give him a grade of B+.
B plus?
A strong B
okay.
plus, yes.
I call you.
And I would vote for him again, too.
Okay, we'll put you on hold. Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, sir.
Right, let's continue. We'll go to caller now, 6029. Caller 6029. Welcome to Missing Pages. Your comments or questions as relates to the theme, what's up in Nick of the Woods?
Yeah, well, as far as grading Trump, it has to be F. Clearly, he lacks statesmanship. In addition to that, he's not a very intelligent fellow. A lot of policies that he is actually counterproductive, and they're actually going to lead to further deterioration of the overall economy. I think in terms of his rhetoric as it relates to ethnicity, I think it's very, very dangerous, particularly in the time of fascism. Anytime you elevate racism, getting carte blanche, you give power to those who like to see harm done to those who are non-white. You give them more and more power. So I think it's a very dangerous precedent. But I think keep in mind that he's part of a system. In fact, those who administer the system, those who control the system, understand that what he's doing is counterproductive, but nonetheless it serves that interest. And so therefore, he's allowed to engage in whatever criminal act or in whatever inappropriate ramblings that he engages in. The thing is that there's a book by Roy, there's a book entitled City for Sale. I forgot who wrote the book. But anyway, it talks about the Trump's history in terms of the bank fraud, numerous bank fraud, the kind of fraud that he engages in on a regular basis. And the mere fact that he's able to get away with that speaks to the fact that he has friends in high positions. The Me Too movement, I think that it's a sham. I think it doesn't really address the systemic issues. I think it's a means by which they can further divide, you know, at least in an attempt, divide women from men in particular, to highlight the interest, the issues pertaining to feminine oppression without dealing with the overall oppression that exists in society. My position is until you get to the quintessential axiom of the problem, which is the black-white axis, until you deal with that contradiction in society, you're not going to move forward. So I think this Me Too movement is distraction away from understanding the negative role that capitalism plays in our lives. Thirdly, I think the whole thing in terms of Chicago, an indictment of this guy, well, they didn't indict him. They found him guilty of second-degree murder. Because he was a cop, he wasn't charged with first-degree murder. He should have been charged with first-degree murder. Because he's a cop, automatically they reduced the charges to second-degree murder or manslaughter. So I think that you're absolutely correct. Yeah, it's a shallow victory, and we got to be mindful of the fact that they can reverse it at any time, and we got to be very concerned about it. Also, keep in mind the judge has fine discretion in terms of sentencing. Normally, these guys don't get large sentences when they kill people, so there's nothing really to celebrate about. I think we have become even more vigilant in terms of this propensity of cops killing African people, you know, in the society. And I conclude with that.
Okay, Carly, we thank you for your contribution to the segment. We'll put you on hold. And we'll come back to you during that next segment. Now, let's take our next caller. We are caller 3128. We are caller 3128. Welcome you to Missing Pages. Your question and comments. Welcome, caller 3128. Question and comments. Okay, going once, going twice. I guess, okay, caller 3128, so I have no comment. They just want to listen, and it's good. We'll continue right now. What we're going to do right now, we're going to that segment of Hot Topics. We'd like to hear your feedback on these various hot topics. Today's themes, by the way, today, Today's theme, by the way, is fill in our missing pages for today. This is our missing pages for today. We give the community a chance to dissect, to articulate, and to share their expertise and experiences on what they think about the present-day issues that are affecting our community. As we look at this whole question, hot topics, there are a couple of things we'd like to raise with our listening audience, and we'd like for you to weigh in on this. Number one is, when you look at sports today, particularly as it relates to football at certain positions, there's one position we believe, have been treated very, very peculiar, and we'd like for you to weigh in on it. And that position is the quarterback of the NFL, National Football League. Is that racism being played out in the NFL, and they place a value or a judgment on the position of being a quarterback? We'd like to hear your views on that. We'd like to hear your views on what can we take from the Bill Cosby decision, the 3 to 10 years. Do you agree? And also, this upcoming election, you have national local elections that will be coming up next month. What are you hearing and what are you seeing in terms of candidates? One thing we find really interesting in terms of many officials who are running, they are all tied into the intelligence department. Is this a sophisticated coup being taken over by the intelligence, a military coup? But they're doing it under the disguise of democracy. But yet, when you look at the officials who are running, all of them represent that one sector. So we'd like to hear your views, your comments. What do y'all think on these particular hot topics for today? Right now, we'll go back to our member, Sister Susie. We'd like to hear your views on those comments. What you think about them? We're talking about this whole question of quarterbacks. See, like when you look at African quarterbacks, their contracts is less value. They still don't get paid that much. They find all kind of reasons to bench them or make changes when they don't give them enough time to perform adequately as they do their counterparts. There seems to be some kind of transition from colleges to the pros. When they are great in college, and I know every time you're great in college don't mean you make a good pro, but something seems very peculiar when we're in the position of quarterbacks. And we know that at this point in time, quarterbacks are the most valued and highest paid position on the team. But yet you have a budget where 55 people must be given their income for one particular total amount of money, and at least 40% of their money is given to just one position. And even when you look at their position, most of the quarterbacks who are making the money, they are not necessarily African quarterbacks who may be deserving so. So we'd like to hear your views, your challenge, your ideas on this issue, as well as the issue of Bill Cosby, what y'all think about the 3 to 10 sentences and what kind of pictures you see running in your community. So right now, we're going to open the line up. We're going back to caller 6057. Caller 6057. Welcome
yes.
to Mr. Page. Mm-hmm. We'd like to hear your views on these hot topics for today.
Okay. Could you repeat them, please?
Let's start with sports in terms of how they're viewing the value of the position of quarterbacks in the NFL. And it seems like, you know, African quarterbacks are, again, getting the short end of that. Two.
They are.
We're talking about the issue of Bill Cosby. What lessons can we take from that? And three, looking at a couple of elections, it seems like a lot of these officials are tied into the intelligence department. They are running for their political positions when not before they would have done that. Now, many of your officials are coming out openly saying they are CIA agents, if you're comfortable, and running for elected positions. Should we have a concern? What is going on, Carla? Give me your perspective.
Certainly. Starting with the quarterback issue first. The quarterback is considered the leader of the football team. And it seems like there's a situation in which, at least in the NFL, that Africans aren't capable of fulfilling that role. So they're held to a different standard than quarterbacks of other ethnic groups. Let's see, in terms of intelligence agents running for election. I think it's a sign that that there's a takeover of the electoral of the electoral offices by FBI, CIA intelligence. And this is a dangerous sign because it's a sign of further infiltration of the police intelligence complex into our communities. And should be pointed out, it's often forgotten that actually a majority of the people that voted in the last U.S. presidential election voted for Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump. But it was the Electoral College, which is controlled by the ruling class, that gave Trump the election. And I bring that up, for people to keep in mind. That there's a lot of opposition to the current policies being pursued, and he's there to do the ruling class's bidding, and that's why he's allowed to continue to conduct himself the way he has.
All right, Carly, thank you. We'll put your hold to our next segment, and we will now go back to caller 4644, caller 4644. We'd like to hear your views on our hot topics for today. Dealing with, is that racism being played out in the NFL as it relates to putting value and judgments on the position of quarterbacks?
So well,
the question of what you take from Bill Cosby, and last point, what do you see from or view from these candidates who are running in national and local elections?
I was going to kind of trip back on the thing with the police officer. The jury decided to do second-degree murder. Apparently, the prosecutor didn't convince them enough that it was first degree. As far as the quarterback is concerned, you know, the NFL and other sports teams, sports organizations like that come up underneath the Sherman Antitrust Act of the late 1800s and the Clayton Act, which I believe was around 1914, I'm not sure. And they sign individual contracts rather than working as a collective. So maybe that's the reason why. Maybe they're looking at the individual performance and so on and so on and so on, maybe how they come up with their interpretation. But maybe the players need to take a knee because of that. I mean, that could be considered. As far as Bill Cosby, I think Bill Cosby put up a bad defense on the second trial. He won the first trial because the jury couldn't decide one way or the other. And that was when it was him and the woman going at each other. But she came back on the second trial and she brought a pack of wolves with her. And Bill, I think, just sat there and took it. So I think his defense may have been able to do a better job on the second trial, which he ended up being convicted. And as far as the elections and the candidates, I like the electoral process, especially when it comes down to electors, because states like ours or Montana can have just as much representation at the senatorial level than a New York or California. And people should get, I look at politics being local, but when it comes down to national politics, there has to be more organization and more thoroughness than what you see at the local level. I don't think that the FBI and CIA are involved in anything as far as trying to convince people how to vote. I didn't see where Russia convinced me how to vote for who I voted for also, but some people think that way. Thank you.
Okay, caller, thank you. We'll put you on hold to our next segment, and we'll go to our next caller. We'll bring back caller 6029. We'll bring back caller 6029. On the hot topic cover, caller, we'd like to have your views and perspective as relates to the issue of is racism being played out in the NFL as they place value and judgment on the position of the quarterback? What can we take from Bill Cosby's decision? Do you agree? and the issue of upcoming elections. What kind of candidates you see running, and what can we conclude from this? So, Carla?
Well, I think when we talk about the NFL in terms of vision of quarterback, I don't think it's a real mystery in terms of quarterback as he's perceived as the mind or the intelligence, you know, of the team. And as such, you know, African quarterback has always been seen as somewhat outside of scope in terms of consideration. So I think we're very, very clear on that history. One of the things I think I do agree with the previous caller, one of the things that has to happen is that the African athletes have to take a stand and insist that this practice comes to an end. Until then, I don't see it coming to an end. Particularly when we look at them, and strange enough, when we look at basketball, the long side of point guard was considered the head or the intelligence, you know, of the squad. And for a long time, white players were surrounded by black athletes, but the point guard was always white. So it took a while for that situation to be addressed. So I think it has to happen in NFL. As far as Bill Cosby, I think let's be clear on this. He had the best representation, you know, in the country. He has one of the best legal minds representing him. But it doesn't matter. Justice doesn't exist in a vacuum. I mean, there are various kinds of external forces that come into play in terms of, you know, people being convicted. Normally, when you think about celebrities, normally they give them a pass. Normally, the celebrities are not convicted. But the mere fact that because of what's convicted speaks to volumes in terms of those outside of the process wanted to ensure, and this includes the media, want to make sure that Carter was convicted. And one of the things that we got to keep in mind, and we talk about the whole process in terms of deciding to, you know, to try people, the prosecutor has an enormous amount of discretion in terms of whether or not they're going to pursue charges. The mere fact that throughout the state of Pennsylvania, a countless number of prosecutors were willing to go after Bill Cosby speaks volumes in terms of the motivation behind making sure that he was convicted. Thirdly, you talk about the prevalence of, you know, intelligence officials running for public offices. Well, it does set a very, very dangerous precedent, because one of the things that you want in terms of politics, you want people who are objective, level-headed, people who actually think of things from a critical perspective. Now, obviously, when you talk about intelligence officials, they got one way of seeing the world. That is, you know, America first. In other words, the issues that impact the average American is not a concern of the intelligence community. It's more what they're there is to ensure that the perpetuation, you know, the system exists. And so, therefore, everything they do is in conjunction with ensuring that the system continues to exist. Even though that system is oppressive, even though it facilitates injustice, the role of intelligence to uplift that same system. So clearly these intelligence officials running for political office is a very dangerous precedent, and it's something that we all should be concerned about.
All right, Carlos, thank you for your contribution to the segment. We'll put you on hold, and we'll go to Susan to get her perspective on the issues. And then if our next caller has something to say, we'll follow her. Then we're going to a station break. Let's go back to our member, Susie. Susie, any comments you'd like to make on the various hot topics?
Okay. Regarding the quarterback situation and stuff, when you look at the way they did Michael Vick and Colin Kaepernick, as a prime example, that those two were going to be used sort of like as a pawn, because there can constantly be other issues that they're going to go directly toward the quarterback, because really, for what Michael Vick did for dog fighting, it was his brother that was more involved than him, but yet they chose to really penalize him because of that. And with Colin Kaepernick, his whole idea was just to bring issues affront that we were dealing with as a people. So I think they already had it set in motion, and they started everything by using these two quarterbacks so they can continue to not allow us to have that prime position with sports. And as far as Bill Cosby, the thing about it, it was, as one of the individuals said, he wasn't really represented the way he should have been, especially in that fucking trial. I know he's working on an appeal, but I'm not so sure that he'll win his appeal because of the fact the way things were done in the past. And also, as far as the upcoming elections, I know here in Virginia, especially in the city of Richmond, a lot of the candidates do state that they were CIA, FBI, and this kind of stuff, and which is something that we've never really seen over the years, where they actually identify their association with these organizations, and which I'm not sure is really a positive thing when we know this because of the way, especially with the current administration and the way things operate.
Thank you, Susie. To our listening audience, you're listening to Mr. Page's History. One of the things we want to do at Mr. Page's History, not only speak truth to power, but to raise and look at issues that the media may not be addressing. We want to give people the proper information so they can think real clearly. So we want you to keep this in mind. Now, we're going to call a 3128, see if that caller has anything to say. If not, we're going to a station break, and when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit about articles of the week. We have a couple articles we thought would be very interesting to share with you in terms of what's going on in your community. So first, let's see if this caller has anything to say. Caller 3128, last phone number 3128. What happened to Mr. Patient History? Any questions or comments you'd like to make based on what y'all heard so far? 3128? Okay, best we can do, we have tried. So let's go to the station break. You listen to Missing Pages of History. And when we come back, we want to share with you an article on why doctors in the no longer prescribe metformin. You know, metformin is a medicine that's commonly given to people who have diabetes, particularly people of color. And there's always been some concern about that medicine, but it was a real interesting report that recently came out from a medical doctor. So we think that raises some eyebrows that we really need to take a look at. So when we do that, we'd like to have your feedback and discuss this article and others when you come back from the station break. You gotta listen to Missing Pages of History.
To look up to. I never found anyone who could
like to welcome you back to Missing Pages of History. Yes, a great love of it all. Maybe found a sign of you. Also, I think the greatest love of all my position is the love for all of humanity. I think when you're dealing with humanity, it's a lot more important than just dealing with individuals. But anyway, that's just a little sidebar for right now. We'd like to get back to discussing issues that are affecting our communities. Right now, we move to the segment, Articles of the Week. Right now, we only have one time for one article. We'd like to, for you to shine in on this issue. There was a real interesting article written out of the Vibrant Health Network titled, Why Doctors in the Know No Longer Prescribe Metformin. You know, metformin is a medicine that many diabetics are given to use to fight diabetes. And many doctors historically for a long time have been talking about the many side effects that comes from these medicines. And I thought it's a really interesting article because what it often does is raise the issue of doing what's right for the people versus what may not be right for making profit with corporate America. Let me just read a little bit from this article, and I'd like for my listening audience to weigh in on the nature of whether or not why the major medical journals chose not to publish this sister research. Again, the title is Why Doctors in the Know No Longer Prescribe Metformin. It was from Vibrant Health Network, dated September 22, 2018. It stated that recently diabetes looking for a doctor's approved drug-free treatment options were out of luck. But a growing number of health experts believe these days are behind us. Dr. Marlon Murray, an Austin-based doctor who is used to suffering high blood sugar herself, made a recent announcement that he is sending shockwaves through the medical community. Okay. Now, it says that Dr. Murray knew all too well that commonly prescribed diabetes drugs like metformin came with a host of unwanted side effects and was determined to find a natural, drug-free solution that could actually eliminate the disease, not just treat its symptoms. And I underline the words, not just treat its symptoms. Because many times when you go to doctors, they don't deal with disease, they only deal with the symptoms. It also says that after months of research, Dr. Merrick developed a simple diet and exercise regimen that had a profound success rate in treating and even reversing type 2 diabetes. Despite the regimen's clear effectiveness, medical journals were slow to publish her findings, perhaps due in part, some have speculated to financial ties to the pharmaceutical industry. In response to Dr. Murray took matters into her own hands and shocked the medical community by partnering with independent health publishers, Prima Health, to make her diabetes reversing regimen available to anyone in the form of an online presentation. Now, she found another way, a natural way, how you can eradicate diabetes too, and she having problems getting her process printed into the major medical journals. They found her way to be very successful. So, audience, based upon this particular finding, and she's want to share this with the medical publications so everybody can test it, but they refuse to want to print her research. What is the motivation behind not wanting to print any kind of research that can maybe make it possible that one, people get well, two, more importantly, they don't take medicines with all these side effects that they don't need? So this is our article for the week. We'd like to know what y'all think about this. So we'll go back briefly to caller 6057, your response to this recent finding by this particular doctor. And other doctors have also agreed with her and are now no longer using metformin and using the prescription that she has suggested in her research presentation. Caller 6057.
Yes. She suggested a more natural method that doesn't entail using metformin, the medication metformin, and entails diet and exercise routine. And it seems to be a safer way of controlling diabetes than the medication. Now, the reason why, her findings probably aren't widely published is because a lot of the medical journals are funded by pharmaceutical corporations. And it is not their interest in, to have, their product, lose money. So I think it's an economic issue in terms of why she's getting so little exposure for this work, and I think it's a case again of the pharmaceutical companies taking advantage of people suffering in order to make a profit.
Thank you, caller, for your response. We go to caller now. We bring back caller 4644. Caller 4644. Your response to the article.
Well, I may have to pass on this one because I don't know very much on the details, and I have never heard of that medicine before, so I don't want to murky the waters.
Yeah, I can share with you, caller, that I know that medicine is highly used because I have many friends who have been prescribed to get that medicine. And that particular medicine, metformin, a lot of times is prescribed to people of color or minority communities. And one of the worst medicines you can put on the market. That has been based on some reports that doctors I know personally, they have shared that with me. And when I ran across that article, it's sort of consistent. At least from the history, based on what I know about that particular medicine and the issues it has within their own medical field that they're constantly struggling around. I know recently we were talking about some of the medicines they are using for diabetes is now causing people to lose their limbs and not helping it. So, I'm just wondering, even if her stuff is not true, won't they just test it? And then by testing it, I don't see why there'll be any resistance against that. So that's why I was just wondering, what's the resistance to not want to test what she, based upon her findings? So anyway, Carla, we thank you for your response and your participation on today's program. We'll put you on hold. Let's go to caller 6029. Caller 6029, your response to this particular article. 6029.
Well, the reason why they resist that information is the same reason why you have caused that that they refuse to produce that one without gas. It's all about profitability. The same reason why electricity is so expensive, when simply all you have to do is run a pole to the center of the earth with the geothermal energy you can convert it to electricity, in which the whole world would get free electricity, but they won't because there's no profit in it. So the question, the response to your question is very simple. It's all about money. So in particular, look at the Western model. It's always been about money. It's never been about the cure for diseases. In fact, one of the biggest contributors to diseases is stress. But in the context of Western medicine, stress is a good thing because it's conducive to dispensing medication for the sole purpose of making profit. And so, therefore, this notion of profit is nothing new in terms of the Western context. So everything is geared to profit. So medicine is no different.
Okay. Thank you, Carla. Your response to this particular segment and question. And right now, what we're going to do is we're going to go into a station break. We're going to pause for the calls, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's up with MPH, how you can help support us, and we'll make our final inbox. So right now, we're going to our station break, and we'll be right back. This is Missing Pages of History. Thank you.
up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Supporters that we have our upcoming quarterly raffle fundraising drawing, which will be held Saturday, October the 27th at 1 o'clock. And you can also listen to it on Blog Talk Radio at missing-pages-of-history-inc. And that's at 1 o'clock. And the number is 818-337-0016. That's one of the events that Missing Pages has coming on, will be having in the future. And also, I'd like to remind you, we have our MPH TV show with Comcast Channel 9, Nick 5, and Fios Channel 36, which is on Wednesday, October the 10th, and that's from 9 to 10 p.m., and call-ins are recommended. And this will also be our last show for this season. And we have a continuing MPH T-shirt cap drive, which you can join and support us by going to our website at www.mphinc.org, or either speak to one of our members where you can order your T-shirt and cap. And also, just a reminder, our next MPH radio program will be Saturday, October the 20th. And this is a biweekly program, and it will be on October the 20th. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Again, if you want to know the whole process of what we're trying to do, our objective and program, please, we encourage you to go to our website at www.mphinc.org. It will tell you all of the things we have in place, but we're only going to be as successful based upon your participation. So we are asking you to come forward and help join us. We do have a membership drive that's open. We want to serve our community, and you are part of the community, so please come and support MPH. In closing, we'd like to thank all of our participants, our listeners, supporters who continue to support this program and others. Without you, there will be no us. You know, one of the things Missing Pages History wants to do is, as I said earlier, is to help teach our youth to find a way so our youth will have a better understanding of this world. Because you can't change something you don't understand, and this is why our history becomes important. This is why Mississippi's history places a great importance on history. And we need you, all our educators, scholars, writers, organizers, architects, mothers, sisters, brothers. You have a contribution that you can bring to the puzzle to help our people. Please come and do this. In the comments or questions concerning this program, please email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. If you'd like to support this program, you can send all contributions to Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. We will greatly appreciate it. And remember, this is a bi-weekly show, and fundraiser will be on the 29th. Quarterly fundraiser will be on the 29th, October. We still need your support. So if you have not purchased your tickets, please contact a member and do so. Like always, we look forward to seeing you on the next program and hearing from you. We want you to stay strong. We want you to give information so you can think. But more importantly, we want you to join organizations, build institutions that will have a positive impact on our community, our people. So until next time, let's fight for more clarity within our community so we can transform this world into becoming a world of clarity and peace and not a world of a ball of confusion.
Let me